Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The Golden Knights are going to make that dream a reality. A devotion to destiny. Misfits to champions. The Vegas Golden Knights win the Stanley Cup in 2023. The first Stanley Cup championship in Golden Knights history comes in their sixth season. The Silver State is home to the greatest silver trophy in all of sports.
There you go. That is how it sounded last night. The Vegas Golden Knights win Lord Stanley's Cup. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezvik, Nick Kieser with you on this Wednesday. And yeah, there you go. They win it last night, 9-3, the final. And as my dad would say, that's an ass kicking right there.
Lord Stanley or the Robbie Stanley Cup.
I don't know if we're gonna go that far.
Oh, he didn't hear. I don't think he heard it.
Does Robbie have a Stanley Cup? Do you have a coffee cup that you need a coffee cup that says Lord Stanley's Cup on it? Like that? Okay, good. I want to make sure you have that because
that was such a. I thought Robbie heard it, but he must have not heard it in there when I first said it, and then I had to repeat it. So
that's okay. It's fine. Yeah, so they get it done last night in dominant fashion. You know, Florida. They're beat up. I mean, and I'm sure Vegas has some players that were hurt too, but, you know, it comes out that Tkachuk had a broken sternum that he played with in game four, couldn't go last night. I mean, that you talk about tough.
Chase, I was a competitive cheerleader, and in 2012, we were doing like one of those things where you throw the girls up or whatever, and I had a girl like step on my chest and I bruised my sternum. I couldn't even sit up in my bed by myself. And I didn't even break it. Like, that was just a bruised sternum. Like, you don't realize how much that specific part of your body plays into walking, sitting up, let alone playing a physical hockey game, skating on ice. I mean, that is pretty incredible. Also, though, a little scary, too. And you and I were kind of talking off the air that he was somehow allowed to play. I understand, you know, like, you're trying to win a cup. But, you know, your sternum is, there's a lot of important things under that bone there. So, honestly, not seeing him play last night, I think that probably was the right decision.
Yeah, no, I think so, too. So, the Vegas Golden Knights, their owner, Bill Foley, had said at the expansion draft that the plan was to win the cup in 6 years.
Yeah, that's
it was
wild.
Year six. And they have won the Stanley Cup. They played in the Cup Final, of course, their first year in existence, and end up getting it done last night. Now, I thought it was cool, and I was telling this to Nick and Robbie, that I got in bed early last night. I was tired, and I was like, okay, I'll watch some of this game. And it, you know, second period, it was over.
Yeah.
And the only reason that I kept watching was because I think one of the coolest things in sports is the tradition of the handshake line in hockey, and then when the captain gets the cup, who do they pass the cup to first?
Yeah.
And I wanted to watch that. And so, and also, like, I thought it was cool because TNT did a nice thing for Keith Jones. It's his last broadcast. And so watching all of that before he heads to Philly. But I was curious of who Mark Stone was going to pass it to, and I thought it was so cool that it was the original six Golden Knights that were still there, and they got to pass the cup around. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Quick gets his third Stanley Cup. Alec Martinez was hit with his third. Phil Kessel won his third. So just kind of the pageantry that goes into it. I enjoy watching that. And Bruce, how about Bruce Cassidy? Bruce Cassidy gets fired by the Bruins. The Bruins are the best team in hockey this year. Mm-hmm. Of course, they get beat by Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He wins the cup in his first year with the Vegas Golden Knights. His first
double
cup.
Birds.
Yep.
Double birds to Boston.
And George McPhee, who was the original GM of the Vegas Golden Knights, now is the team president.
Mm-hmm.
who's been a hockey lifer, ironically replaced David Poile in Washington with the Capitals. Of course, Preds fans will remember that Poile fleeced him and got some guy named Philip Forsberg in a trade for Michael Latta and Martin Erat. Been a guy that's been around for a long time. And I will say that I sat there and I did have that moment of, man, McPhee's got a cup and Poile's not going to get one. You know, and that, as the GM, as an advisor, I guess you could say he could do that. But, so congratulations to the Vegas Golden Knights. And for anybody that wants to complain and say that, you know, it's not fair, the system that they got, no, it is. You pay $500 million for a franchise, I think you deserve a better shot at it than paying $80 million. That's my opinion. It's a different league. I have no issue with it. They played it the right way. I don't think they even thought they were going to get to the Cup Final their first year.
Mm-hmm.
But because I think the original thing that Foley had said was playoffs in three, Cup in six.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up – they've only missed the playoffs one time in their existence. But I have no issue with it. That's what the league wanted because, I mean – look at the scene outside of T-Mobile.
Insane. Absolutely insane. I mean, one of my favorite things, because I think that the Stanley Cup just has the best celebration because, you know, different from winning the Super Bowl or something, like there's usually a ceremony and, you know, it's just so quick that the cup's out there and everybody's skating around with it and like passing it on the ice. Like it's just such a beautiful scene. And I will say all of the Vegas Golden Knights players and their families coming out, all of the babies in the cup is the cutest thing ever of everybody putting their little baby in the cup. So rewatching videos and everything this morning on social media, pretty awesome celebration. But I mean, to your point, Chase, about, you know, the expansion team, Robbie Joe and I were talking about it this morning and trying to figure out, okay, you know, was Vegas the quickest team to win a cup? And was it by a lot? But Robbie said that Philadelphia actually won it 7 years into existence. So, I mean, in my head, I'm thinking maybe just because, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights are recent. And it's like you feel like they just became a team like a couple of years ago. I mean, only 6 years ago and they've already won a cup. But, you know, Philadelphia did do it in 7 years, which is very, very close to that.
Yeah, that's true. Some guy named Crisp was on that team.
Some guy named Terry Crisp.
Yeah, the Crispinator. But now I'm excited because I'm legit excited about this, that the off season can begin because I'm ready for GM Barry to start wheeling and dealing and making some moves.
He's already been wheeling and dealing a little bit behind Mr. David Poile for a while now. I think he was quite a bit involved in 100%. The trade deadline, but I know what you mean. The official.
Yeah.
And, of course, some exciting things in Nashville in a week and a half, 2 weeks-ish. You got the NHL Awards, NHL Draft here for Nashville. Nashville's got quite a bit of draft picks. Are they going to, you know, try to package and move up? Exciting that it's in Bridgestone and in Nashville for the Predators.
So I was reading the fine work of the reporter Nick Kieser last night.
Okay.
And I'm in off season mode. And I'm like, okay, what dates do we need to know? So they now have, we start buyouts basically now or in 48 hours. Is that what it is?
I believe the buyouts start as soon as tomorrow. So okay. It's 24 hours after the last game is played.
And then qualifying offer. I mean, it picks up.
That's 48 hours after the game is over. Yes.
Okay. So
that's when you have to. I think it's the player and the agent have to put that in, or I think it's – no, the first one is the team has to put in
that. Yeah, they have to issue
and
those.
Then the next one is the player and the agent have to.
I'm excited.
Ryan Johansson, question mark. I think that would be one of – probably on the top of the list if I had to guess if any Predator would get bought out.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be the only one, I think. And personally, I don't think they should do that. I think you wait a year. I mean, you know, I get that you know, you haven't gotten the production out of him. Mm-hmm. I am curious to see how he comes back from this injury because
yes.
I do think that Ryan has that in him. And Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett are the types that I think can pull that out of him. And I think he knows that if he wants his career to continue, you know, especially in Nashville, he's got to step up. And I would kind of like to see that. I mean, I would like to see him get that opportunity. I get the financial aspect of it, but I think you wait. And then, you know, if this year doesn't go the way you want, then you buy him out. You're only buying him out for a year.
Yeah.
You know, the question too is going to be Duchesne. Like, are you going to keep both of them? And, you know, I've said that I kind of feel like maybe one could be gone. You know, the other thing with Johansson is, do you find a team that, and follow me on this, that is in financial straits with the salary cap and they need to unload something, but it would still save them money to take somebody like Johansson, then turn around and buy him out. Mm-hmm. You know, like I look at somebody like Toronto, if they were to move Tavares for Johansson and then buy Johansson out, they're still saving about $7-8 million by doing that. So, because, you know, you're going to play the game. If you're a team like the Predators that has about $15 million in cap space,
yeah, they're doing well.
You're going to go, okay, sure, yeah, I'm interested, but what's in it for me?
For sure,
more than
of course.
Just getting a player, you know?
Yeah.
So there's the game, the chess game that you're going to have to play with the salary cap being in the position that it's in. And I think that's going to be fascinating, and I think Barry Trotz is going to be very good at it.
Well, and somebody call the Coyotes because they seem to take on so many people's contracts. Maybe they'd be up for having
the
somebody
team.
Else. The all-name team, the Arizona Coyotes. And also, too, I will say, they're also a team to keep an eye out. Could there be any movement with, you know, the stadium not getting approved? You know, what could that look like?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think they're going to play one more year at least in Arizona. And then my guess is they're going to be in another city.
But that definitely is another NHL as a whole storyline too. I mean, the Ottawa Senators, they just got bought. I think it was a close to $1 billion.
Yeah, they
can't remember
went for a lot.
I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head, but, you know, could we see something with the Coyotes happen? We kind of forgot about that storyline once the Stanley Cup playoffs started, but, I mean, that was huge. I remember the day on our show when that didn't get approved.
Yep.
And now the Coyotes, they've got a big question mark in front of them as to how they're going to move forward.
Look, I remember the feelings that I had, and I wasn't even a diehard hockey fan at the time, but I remember the feelings I had with the thought of the Predators could leave. And I don't want to see that. And, you know, let me say this too. This is a little bit of a rant.
Rant it out, Chase.
Stop booing Gary Bettman. Just stop. Like, you don't realize some of the things he's done for sports and for this market in particular. Like, he's a big reason why this team is still here, because he didn't like the funny business that was going on, and he got in the way of it, and he gave Nashville the opportunity to keep this team, and they ultimately did. I know everybody wants to be like, well, he's had, was it two or three lockouts. Good things have come out of those. Mm-hmm. You know, the league is in a much better position. They're in Vegas. They're in Seattle. They're in two really good markets. He has done everything to try and save it in Phoenix. Probably too much.
Probably.
You know, to a fault.
Yeah.
And so I just, when he gets booed, I'm like, just stop. Like,
I promise you, you could have a worse commissioner.
Yeah.
I promise.
Yeah, Rob Manfred. Like, I think Manfred's the worst commissioner in sports.
Yeah,
you know?
It could be worse.
Gary's not perfect by any means.
No one
is. But I think he's there's a reason that he's been at his post for as long as he's been there. And he's been very good to us at this station. Like, he's always been, you know, cool this time and stuff. So, and I get over that. Like, Goodell, okay, fine. I get it. But, you know.
It's funny.
Uncle Gary, come on now.
Well, and he will be in Nashville, so let's all Predators fans, keep in mind what Chaser just said.
He will, and he'll probably come on at some point. So, but how do Preds fans feel today? That's what I want to know. Do you care? Are you like me and ready to move into the offseason? And let's see what moves that Barry Trotz has up his sleeve. We'll discuss that next. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser, the reporter, with you. Hope you're having an awesome Wednesday. I am curious if Preds fans care, don't care about Golden Knights. getting the win last night in the Stanley Cup final. But I don't. It's like, whatever. I'm ready for the offseason now. I'm ready to see what moves will happen.
I also like when I understand the way people view the goldest, the goldest, the Vegas Golden Knights. I just combined all of those words in
their one. Their jerseys are definitely the goldest.
The goldest.
They're very sparkly.
I actually like when, you know, a franchise has never won before. And I think that that's really unique that we saw that happen not only in the NBA this year, but also the NHL. I understand. And actually, you know, we're going to have Greg Wyshynski on tomorrow. And he wrote an article on ESPN this morning regarding the Knights' win last night. And the headline was, "The Golden Knights worked the system, pissed people off, including some beloved former players, and won the Stanley Cup. My column on one of the most controversial franchises in sports and their cup in six."
Okay, I can't wait to have him on tomorrow.
I know.
We'll talk about that.
And that's from we talk so much about here
why
in Nashville.
Why does this bother people so much? I don't get it. They worked the system. And like here's the other thing too. They got help from the GMs because the GMs around the league freaked out. And so Jonathan Marchessault, I still can't say his name right.
Marchessault.
Thank you.
Words are hard.
But what he was with Florida, right?
He was with Florida.
So was Riley Smith. That was Florida basically freaked out that they were going to do one thing, and they offered up. Basically, they got both of those guys from Florida, so they wouldn't do the thing that they ended up not really doing.
Yeah, one was, I believe they took Marchessault, and then they took a trade to get Riley,
right.
I believe.
So the GMs helped this.
Oh, for sure.
James on our text line says, "Philly didn't have help from the commissioner to win it in 7 years. The new rules for expansion teams is an absolute joke." What people don't want to recognize is some GMs made dumb moves because they freaked out that Vegas was going to take a player, and so gave them sweeteners not to take a certain player, and thus helped make them better quicker.
It was the new format, right? The new rules we talk right. about in when Vegas expanded, and it wasn't just, you know, they changed the format and that's why they just won a cup. You mentioned people freaked out because it was the first time this ever happened. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how the Kraken move forward. What does that team look like? I mean, I will say people will be irate if Seattle goes and wins a cup in the next 3 years.
I mean, they can be irate. Like that, $650 million, I think is what it was. Or was it $750 million? To get a franchise. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's different now. You pay that much money. And if I'm the league, if I'm Gary Bettman, and I'm sitting there and I go, okay, I'm going to Vegas, which is a tourist market, which is like Nashville is becoming in a melting pot, and you want to build a fan base fast and be successful there, what's the best way to do that? Win.
Mm-hmm. And
Seattle.
That they did.
Seattle's a little bit different, but guess what's right next to Seattle? Canada. Vancouver. Guess what Vancouver has? A hockey team.
Hockey.
So you want to build a fan base and you want to do it quick in Seattle, which is a really nice, really good sports market, mm-hmm. a team that they're going to get the NBA back eventually.
Ooh,
what do you?
I hope they get the Sonics.
Give
back.
Me the Sonics.
Supersonics.
Give me the
ever.
Sonics. But you do that, like you want to be successful. Like the fact that they made the playoffs in the second year is good for them. You don't want to go through what Nashville had to go through and, you know, build it for 5 years. Now, look, it worked. They've, you know, had success, but they haven't won a cup yet.
Nope.
You know, so if Nashville played by those rules, who knows where they'd be? They'd probably have a cup. I mean, they probably would.
Don't let fans go there.
But I mean, I lived it. And I will tell you that I didn't care all that much about the Predators. Because one, I didn't understand hockey, and they sucked because they were building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to one game in the first 5 years, and those were on free tickets. When I got interested, when they started catching my attention, guess what they were doing?
Winning.
They were winning.
Well, I think you bring up a really great point there, Chase, too, because, you know, the NHL is different than right? You know, the MLB or the NFL, you know, kind of like America's traditional sports, right? The NHL has had to do a lot more work to be able to, first off, build their league. It's something that people have to, you know, teach themselves about. Like you talked about, you know, you had to really learn hockey. I think you were really at the forefront of watching this fan base grow over so many, over the past 20 plus years here in Nashville. You know, hockey's not a big sport in the South/Mideast. You know, it's really big in the Northeast. It's big in Canada, but it's not like you have, you know, dominant college hockey teams around here that hockey's really talked about all that much. So, you know, you have to get that fan base and get them to want to buy in to make a financial investment into your franchise. And the reality is, you know, when you have a Vegas doing well and when you have a Seattle doing well, and the fact that they paid so much for these franchises, that money is going back into the league. And it essentially is just helping the entire product. I understand. It freaking sucks. Everybody wants to win a championship in sports, but the reality is, you know, that money is going back into, or at least somewhat back into the bigger pot of the NHL as a whole and helping the entire sport. Yeah, it stinks the way that, you know, Nashville had to fully build it up and they had to put so much work into it. But, you know, when they eventually win a cup someday, you know, it'll just be like, oh, we finally won one, right? It'll be that much sweeter. Okay. You know, if Seattle wins it in a couple years, okay, like you said, they paid $650 million for the franchise, and you paid $80 million, which is about $150 million now. It's different. You know, maybe we'll see more people realize the success you can have.
If I'm Bill Foley, I mean, I'm ecstatic today, and you know, it's like, hey, this is exactly what I wanted. But you know, if the right offer came along, I'd cash out. I mean, because that franchise fee that you paid, I mean, you're going to double, maybe triple it now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it just that's the way it is. The league's in a better spot. Like Kyle in our text line, why do us Preds fans hate the Golden Knights? The commissioner you love so much handed them a great team and allowed them to steal our sniper right after we went to the Cup Finals. This should be an easy answer. What does the extra franchise fee money do for the fan of the sport? Absolutely nothing. Kyle, I disagree with you. It does a lot. I mean, the league is healthy now. Like, it is so much healthier than it was in 1997. They have a salary cap, which has been good for the league. There's more parity. And I understand, you know, especially, and, you know, I'll say this too. There are a lot of you that are listening that were the day one fans and have been there since day one. And I think that's fantastic. And you were there in those first 5 years of building it from scratch. But, and I know as a city, we wouldn't change that. But I also say that it's a different time. If Nashville now got an expansion team, you'd want the same process that Vegas and Seattle got.
Yeah, I mean, because your city's already established and it's already flourishing. I mean, we've seen just in the last couple of, probably the last 5 or 6 years, just the housing market and the cost of living here in Nashville has absolutely skyrocketed. The infrastructure that they are building, you know, you're getting a new NFL stadium in the next couple of years. Sure, if there was no NHL team here right now and, you know, Gary Bettman was looking to expand again and was like, ooh, we like Nashville for a landing spot, it would be a different story. You're already an established city. But, you know, I wasn't here 20 plus. I wasn't even really alive, actually, that long ago when they came here. But, you know, Chase, you were in this city. Like, how long do you think it actually, just to put in perspective to some fans who maybe have moved here in the last couple of years because so many people are moving to Nashville, like, how long do you actually think it took to gain momentum and start to actually like fill and get Bridgestone to like what it is?
To be honest with you, the team almost leaving. I mean, that really, and look, I'm not speaking for everybody. There was a core group that was the A1 from day one. But I will also say that a lot of that had to do with the leadership of the team. Yeah, you got the new ownership group. Jeff Cogan, Sean Henry come in here. Like, it changed. It went from expansion team to playing with the big boys. I mean, that's really what the whole thing changed. And, you know, Craig Leopold put a lot into it. He went for it in 06, 07. It didn't work. And ultimately he was like, I'm gonna cash out. I'm
2010-ish?
Yeah. I mean, 20. So like, because they, the new ownership took over. 07, 08, they made the playoffs after selling everything off. They missed in 08, 09, and then things really picked up after that. They traded for Mike Fisher. They matched the offer sheet to Shea Weber. That when they matched the offer sheet to Shea Weber, that was kind of the big notice to the league of, we're ready. We're here to play.
Well, and think about that. That's 10-plus years.
Yeah. So there were a lot of factors that went into it. But, you know, and again, like I am huge Preds fans. Like, they're obviously partners with this station. I love what they've done. But, you know, when people get mad about Vegas and Seattle, you know, getting a new system and getting what they got, I'm just, look at the money. That's how I feel about it. So that will be a debate for a long time.
Oh, yes, it will. But, and Seattle could regain that flame,
yeah,
of the day.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely could. Speaking of growing as a city and new things, could the Fairground Speedway be closer to reality? We're going to talk to Jerry Caldwell, who is behind all of that with the Bristol Motor Speedway and Speedway Motorsports. That's next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezvik, the reporter Nick Kieser with you on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a fantastic day. The Nashville Sounds are having a block party on Junior Gilliam Way from 3 to 5 in honor of 615 Week this Saturday. We'll have live music, inflatables, balloon artists, food trucks, hair braiding, and more. This is a free event before the Sounds take on the Stripers that night. So looking forward to that. Let's say hello now to Jerry Caldwell. He's the president at Bristol Motor Speedway, a part of Speedway Motorsports, and friend of the show, been on with me several times over the years. Jerry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Chase. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Man, I'm fantastic. Got a little race coming to Nashville here in a couple weeks out at the Nashville Super Speedway, so looking forward to that. But I know that, you know, you have kind of a project of love, maybe we'll call it, that you've been a part of for several years now with the Nashville Fairgrounds and the partnership that you're looking to have with the city of Nashville. The Metro Fair Board did vote to approve a contract between Metro Nashville and Bristol Motor Speedway to lease, manage, and operate the historic Fairgrounds Speedway. Obviously, still some steps yet to go, but it feels like we are very, very close to this becoming a reality.
Well, Chase, we are really close. And it's the last piece of the puzzle out there at the fairgrounds. There's so many wonderful things that are going on out there with the new expo center, the soccer stadium. The racetrack has been there for over 100 years. And it's the last one to really get the facelift that it deserves. And that's where we are. We're really close to that. We're going in front of council here in a few weeks, and really excited to be able to have a conversation around this project and hopefully get something put together.
And for people that have been following this, and for people that haven't been following this, it would be a 30-year lease for Bristol to manage, operate, and maintain Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. And the best part in all of this, you know, there's some money coming from the state. There's money coming from the Convention and Visitors Corps. But the plan that is being presented, basically, this thing would ultimately pay for itself.
Absolutely. It's paid for by the users. Right now, there's about $40 million in deferred maintenance out there. And the place is just it's getting run down. And yeah, it's been neglected for a long time. And this will shift all of that obligation over to us and the users of the property. It's better for the taxpayers of Nashville. It's also going to be a much better experience for the quality of life in the neighborhood, because we're going to incorporate a sound reduction wall that'll go around most of the facility. Basically anywhere that there's not a building or a grandstand, this wall will go in and be able to reduce the sound in the neighborhood out there by 50%.
And the other part of that too, Jerry, is there will be more of a controlled schedule with cars being on the track, which is certainly going to help the noise around there as well.
That's right. Yeah, everything will be worked out well in advance from a racing standpoint. The schedule will be set a year in advance so folks know when that's going to be. And we're in our agreement, it would actually be fewer days of cars on the track than what they have right now. But we still think we can protect local racing. It deserves to be protected. It's been there for a long time, and have a great program, and then be able to create really what would be a multi-use venue for other community events and other great things for the Nashville community to come out and enjoy at a really first-class facility that they deserve.
Jerry Caldwell is with us, president of Bristol Motor Speedway, talking about the historic Nashville Fairgrounds. So I, before the All-Star race, I said on this program, and I sent out a tweet, that decision makers, fans, non-fans, pay attention to what's happening in North Wilkesboro, because that could be the fairgrounds. Because Wilkesboro, everybody thought it was dead, buried, and gone, and would never see the light of day again, and then it did. And I know growing up in this city, a lot of us thought, well, NASCAR Cup racing will probably never be at the fairgrounds again, and now it could be. So how much do you think the All-Star race and what happened at Wilkesboro has helped this project with the fairgrounds?
Well, I hope a lot. It's a project that we at Speedway Motorsports are really proud of, what we did out at North Wilkesboro. It was a great event, and I think the Nashville Fairgrounds can be that and so much more. Because I think it can allow a NASCAR Cup race to come back. And when we say that, we're talking about once every other year where we would have a NASCAR race. But it also would allow for a facility that can be used for so many other things. And I hope folks that maybe don't know or are skeptical will look at our track record. We've been around for 60 years, and we've done these types of things at North Wilkesboro. And many other places, and just really excited about what we can put together out there at the fairgrounds.
Every time I interview a driver in NASCAR, I will always bring this up because, you know, I love what the team out at Nashville Super Speedway has done. I work very closely with them as the voice of the track, and so obviously I want to see that to have continued success, but I also want to see racing at the fairgrounds. I want it all. And I asked the drivers, you know, what do you think about going to one city and two tracks, you know, in the same year? And they love it. They love the idea of it because you're going to get two very different styles of racing out at the Super Speedway and out at the fairgrounds. When you hear that kind of support, how does that make you feel?
It's absolutely right. Nashville as a city can most definitely support two cup races. In the market. We do that lots of other places across the country. But I think it's such a special opportunity to be able to save this. I mean, a lot of folks that live in Nashville may not realize this is the second oldest operating racetrack in the country. It's over 100 years old, and it's charter protected. It says in the charter that racing has to continue out there. So let's make sure we do that in a first-class manner. And to be able to bring the stars of motorsports out here to race at the fairgrounds, it is going to be such a special, special event, assuming we can pull all this together.
So when is the next important date that people need to know about?
Coming up in early July. July 6th will be in front of council. And I would just ask folks that live in Nashville if you would let your council members know that you're in support of this, that this can be a good thing for the taxpayers of Nashville because it removes the burden from them and puts it on us, and it improves the quality of life out in that neighborhood. And what we've been so pleasantly pleased to see is the tremendous support in Nashville for this. Over 74% of the folks that live in Davidson County are in support of this when they hear about it and understand what's on the table. So they love their fairgrounds. They love their racetrack. Even if they're not race fans, we've found that people love and respect the racetrack and the roots of Nashville and want to make sure those are protected.
Well, and I'll say this too, Jerry, to show how much I love what you all do at Speedway Motorsports and specifically Bristol. People say, man, I can't wait to go to, you know, my first race out at the fairgrounds when it gets open. I go, no, just go up 40, go to Bristol. You want to see some short track racing? Go to the night race at Bristol coming up in the fall, into the summer and fall. So I'm trying to help you out there.
Well, we appreciate that. Yeah, Bristol is a special place, and amazing racing there, and we know the fairgrounds can be just like that.
Absolutely. Jerry, always a pleasure to talk to you, and we're supporting you, and hopefully we get to the finish line, pun very much intended, here very, very soon in the next couple months.
Well, we appreciate it, Chase. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Jerry Caldwell, president, Bristol Motor Speedway, Speedway Motorsports, and hopefully everything gets done soon with the fairgrounds, and I would love it. You know, he said it would be every other year. You have a year where they're racing maybe at the Super Speedway, racing mm-hmm. at the fairgrounds. Bristol, obviously. Give me short tracks, you know, short track season. And then I would love to see the Super Speedway get a playoff race. That's my pitch to NASCAR. Do like a summer short track series with Wilkesboro and the fairgrounds, and then do a playoff race out at the Super Speedway. So appreciate Jerry for joining us. And again, early July, hopefully we can get this thing to the finish line in NASCAR in Nashville. Coming up next, the SEC football schedule for 2024 is coming out tonight. I got very excited when I learned that news. Are we prepared, though? Are we ready?
No.
Do we think we're truly ready for what is to come? We will discuss that next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Let's go. Love that music. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, the 2024 SEC schedule. We're going to find out tonight what it's going to look like. Now, they're going to play 8 conference games, which is stupid. Need to go to 9. Actually, I'd be fine if they went to 10. But, you know, coaches got to do their thing and complain and all those, but
not that the like Pac-12 and everybody else, Big Ten, play 9 conference games, but it's okay.
I just like
SEC is king apparently, but you only play 8.
But they are king, but like I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I am basically telling you that you're going to make more money if you play more than 8, and the coaches still want to complain.
Like, the only thought I have is you'll have one less cupcake game, which is a win on your schedule.
That's what
but here's the thing. College football playoff is expanding. So, you know, there's going to be more opportunity than for more teams to get into it. So the record isn't going to matter as much. You're not going to have to be as perfect in the regular season.
You know what I want to do? I want to get some ADs on. Because I want to get a group of 5 AD, and I know one in particular, and get an SEC AD.
Current?
Yeah. And get an SEC AD on. Because I would love to talk this out, you know, with people that obviously know more than I do. So to play devil's advocate, like, I get it from the group of 5 standpoint of you don't want to take up all those games because financially for your university, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
When you play, you know, MTSU is going to play Alabama and Missouri.
That's a big
deal for them to be able to do that. And so I get that, and I don't want to see that go away. But at the same time, you know, I understand from the SEC standpoint, like I want to see more conference games because you're adding more teams. So, and really for me, I want to see rivalries protected. Like I was listening to Robbie and Joe this morning talking about Tennessee-Florida might not happen.
Might not happen this year.
Like, I want to see that still. Like, I grew up watching
that. Oh, I mean, that game's always exciting. I mean, Peter Burns of SEC Network came out this morning and said, breaking, each of the SEC teams will play either Texas or Oklahoma once in the upcoming 2024 college football season. So every SEC team will either have the Longhorns or the Sooners on their 2024 schedule. I like that.
Yeah,
with them getting into the SEC. But like you said, tonight's going to be interesting when they have the schedule release, only because, you know, the difference between the NFL schedule release and this schedule release right now is there's a very good chance Tennessee, Florida is not on there.
Yeah. I mean, it will be.
Which I think is a huge game every year. I don't care if Florida, I mean, last year they had kind of a down year, but it was still a phenomenal game between Tennessee and Florida. They've got two of the best college football fan bases. You know, both stadiums are historic, and the rivalry has been there for so long. This could be, I mean, because you also want to keep Tennessee, Alabama, right? It's hard, and you want to keep you know, Auburn, Georgia, the oldest college football rivalry. There are so many that you want to keep, but, you know, the sad reality is we're not going to get
Yeah, and I do like that they're going to require each SEC program to play at least one Power 5 program.
Yes, I
do too. Notre Dame, or, you know, or independent. But Notre Dame, I guess BYU could factor into that. But so ACC, Big 10, Big 12, Pac 12, somewhere in there. I am on board with that. If I were doing things,
if you were Greg,
and I were the czar of college football, which they need, if I was that, I'd up the ante and go to, they're at what, 12 games right now? I'd go to 13.
Okay.
And I would go, I'd go 10 conference games with all these super conferences. I would go one Power 5, and then you can do, so that would put you at 11, and then you can do your two group of five after that.
Sounds good. I can't do that really math in my head right now. I'm like trying to picture that. But no, that, I mean, that sounds, I agree. I think
and
that,
I'd require two off weeks.
Oh.
You get two off weeks.
So you're like really going, mm-hmm, like, let's do a little amateur.
Yeah. And I mean, like, get rid of this week zero crap and, yeah, you know, just start the season then. You know, you can have everybody, even though I think Labor Day, it should kick off Labor Day.
I do too. Well, I think the weekend after Labor Day.
No, that's the NFL.
You think it should start Labor Day weekend?
Yeah, Labor Day weekend's traditionally the start of college football.
Yeah, but, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. And then the NFL is the next week.
Why? What am I thinking of right now?
I like that. And then there's, I mean, you can extend the season. Like, is anybody going to, let me ask you around here, is anybody going to be upset if college football, you know, the actual season goes into the middle of December?
No, nobody's going to be upset.
Because guess what you're going to do? You're going to eliminate this BS month off between the end of the conference championships and the playoff and bowl games.
No, and I understand that. But I will say, you know, the argument from the player, the coach, and the school side will be, and this is even, we've heard some of it with the 12-team playoff, is you're playing more games. Guys are still trying to go to the NFL, you know, injuries, wear and tear on their bodies. Like, that will be the argument of, we have more games for these guys to play. I mean, we talk about a 12-team playoff instead of four teams and everybody else playing a bowl game, or if you make it to a bowl game, you're playing, you know, however many times it takes you to get to, if you're a championship team, right? And more often than not, if
okay,
you're a team
then
going
keep it
to...
keep it at 12. That's fine. Then keep it at 12. Keep it at 12 games. And, you know, I still want more. I still, if you keep it at 12, then fine. Nine conference games, one Power 5, and then you can have the two that can be whatever you want.
When you basically could do it like an NFL schedule as far as matching up people and the divisions and everything like that. I know they're getting rid of divisions, but, you know, just
get rid of
who would have thought.
But, like, adding a game to me, and again, I'm not playing, so it's easy for me to say, but adding a game to me really isn't that big of a deal.
I don't get it either, especially since other conferences do it.
Like, well, I'm talking about adding a game overall.
Oh, adding an oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because – and I get, I think some can do that because, you know, they don't have the conference championship games and all of that. But I mean, if you play 13 games, but you're right. The argument is going to be because the playoff is expanding, so you're adding it that way, even though that doesn't affect everyone.
Well, and then, you know, you'll add a game and there'll be one player, which, you know, it's not trying to. You know.
If they'd hurry up and give me the video game, that would give me my fix. So
I'm not trying to, like, harp on players getting injured, but let's just, you know, it's reality. It's football. You know, a guy who gets injured in that extra game and his draft stock, you know, is out the window, right? I mean, that'll be.
I'm just glad because I can tell you right now, like, if this actually became a thing and people started fighting for it, you're going to undoubtedly hear one AD or one coach go, well, it's just too much. These kids are in school, and they're focused on their academics, and I'm going to look at them and go, yeah.
Well, I will say,
like,
though.
Like, you give a crap about that.
I will say, though, to, like, with NIL just skyrocketing as much as it is, oftentimes, you know, if you're going to be a high draft pick, you probably have a big NIL deal. So that plays a role, too, into they are making money. And if you do add another game, like, they are making significant money, especially at the football level. You know, if you're a quarterback or you're a wide receiver right? Add an Alabama, Oklahoma, Georgia, any of those.
If I'm a player that, and I know, like, I'm a really, if I'm Stetson Bennett, for instance, and I'm a really, really, really good college player, but ultimately, I'm probably not going to be a great NFL player. Now, he could, who knows?
Listen, he's whipping it out there with the Rams,
that's
Sean
fine.
McVay.
Yeah, that's fine. But,
yes, I
but if it's like, okay, I'm probably not going to have a long NFL career. Like, I would want to extend my college career with NIL because I'm going to make more money.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, there's some guys that made more last year in college than they're going to make
ever
this year in the NFL.
Or ever in the NFL if they ever make it there. I mean,
right.
That's one, like, that's the thing. I mean, your top draft pick, sure, they're going to be making the multi-million. But you get into the fourth, the fifth, the sixth round, like, if they're marketed well in their college town, or they're the best player on maybe a not SEC school or a smaller Power 5 school, like, they're going to be making a lot of money in NIL. I understand not everybody is making that money, but I think you could make the argument of, because NIL is now allowed, right, playing that extra game, injuries come with the game.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how they move forward. And the biggest thing I'm looking for tonight is, will Tennessee and Florida play each other this year?
Yeah, that's a big one for me too. Okay, so Ken and Waverly has tweeted at me and texted us several times, and I hope he's been listening, because he did not want to talk about D-Hop the whole show. We have not this entire first hour, Ken, so I hope that you've been listening, because now we're going to talk about D-Hop.
And yes, we are.
And his visit with now the Patriots. They're on track to try and court him for his services. We'll do that next. Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.